I'm very happy to welcome men from Aurore here. I don't know much about men, excepting that I occasionally party with him.
No one does.
But I do know that Aurore has been actually the organization which has put up solar panels throughout Auroreville and also all over India, for which Aurore a few years ago got the Ashton Award from Prince Charles himself, Britain's biggest environmental award. And the Ashton Award is actually considered as the Green Nobel Prize. So that was a huge achievement for Aurore in Auroreville that we got this award for a solar work. But now I'll let Min introduce himself.
Thank you, Bindu. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Still awake. Did you enjoy the Diwali crackers last night?
Were you the one setting them off?
Imagine the power, if we could tap onto the explosions that were happening, how much energy we could produce and maybe run the whole Auroreville for one day. Anyway, so about myself, I'm fairly new to Auroreville compared to many other legends here. I came to Auroreville 4 years ago and as a volunteer, and then stayed on for a few months, went back, realized that this was my place, so I decided to come here to live 2 years ago. And before coming to Auroreville, my background has been very mixed. I have a degree in engineering, which I never worked as an engineer. Then I have a degree in business management, and I've been working as a consultant for various organizations for the last 14 years. since I came to Auroreville, I've been working with Aurore. Aurore is Oro for Aurobindo Renewable Energy. And there we have been doing not just energy, but variety of different things. And our approach to energy has been a bit more radical than just trying to see how we can provide energy for the needs that keeps growing over time, for people. So what I want to do is essentially go through a presentation which is kind of about Aurore, and then maybe this presentation is, you know, just talking about three key areas that we've been working on in the recent past, and then perhaps I think it will be more interesting to have a discussion around issues that we are facing and the challenges that need to be addressed. So, Bindu, if I just sit, just stand over there.
Yeah, okay. Do you want a chair?
No, I
prefer to stand.
Do
you want me to stand?
Just slide just for a second. Anyone knows Di Bono?
Di Bono, yeah. Yes.
Edward Di Bono. Six Thinking Hats, right. He is a kind of an inspiration for me. And for anything to grow, I think, we need to have a thought, a possibility, a speculation in our minds first before it becomes a physical reality. So I think with regards to the key issues in sustainability, energy, water and so on, I think we are at a stage of just thinking right now. We have a long way to go, but I think we have to start from somewhere. And all these presentations, video that you show, that you just saw a few minutes ago, are just, you know, the beginnings of something that may change the way we think about energy and sustainability. Yes. We can move on to the next. This is for the outside audience about Aurore. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Click on it again.
Your keypad seems to be okay.
Okay. Sorry. The vision of Aurore is to actively participate in transitioning to a conscious and enduring way of living with a focus on renewable energy. So we are looking at, see, if you try and look at a problem from just one aspect, then we create more problems. That's what's been happening. With biofuels, for example, it seemed like a sort of simple solution, and everyone was on the bandwagon, including the founders of Google.
And then we all realize that if we just have monocrops and we replace tropical rainforests of Brazil with fields for whatever, soya and so on, it creates new problems. So what we are trying to do is see how we can look at these issues from social, economical, political, policy points of view and come up with approaches where we just touch on these things with communities and societies rather than bring about radical changes.
Yeah.
So our strategy has been, if you just click on all of them. Sorry about this, this is designed by someone who likes PowerPoint. Strategy is very simple. Focus on ideas and projects which maximize impact. So we are not into one technology or one approach. We're looking at emerging technologies, emerging solutions, social and otherwise, and try and see which one will fit best in the context and try and work on those. Use market forces, because we cannot change the current economic model based on capitalism. So how can we use that to advantage and see how we can leverage that? So we believe that the changes will only happen if the people who are involved in it have the passion and integrity and believe in these things. So we work with lots of volunteers, people from all over the world, and we try and use their interests, their energy to work on these solutions. We always think that the issues are all global regarding sustainability. Anything we do here affects other parts of the world. So we always look for solutions which are global in context, but we roll them out obviously in local areas. And then the last point, which is the most important one, is we are not in these things to grow businesses. We usually try and see how we can create a new idea, let it go for a little while, and once it matures into something which can then be taken upon by a local community or another NGO, we move out. This is more about Aurore, what we do. We supply products, predominantly photovoltaic solutions, solar pumps, street lights, small systems, home systems. Now we are moving into more solar lights for villages to replace kerosene lamps, which we'll talk about more in a minute. We try and make it affordable, because the biggest challenge with renewable energy is it's not affordable. How do you change the way we look at money? Now microfinance is a big instrument that we try and use. Affect policy. Just wait. Too much PowerPoint here, I'm afraid. Affect policy, which means bigger changes can only happen, like they happen in Germany and Spain with regards to renewable energy, if the policymakers decide in favor of renewable energy. Anyone knows about what happened in Germany and in Spain and so on and so forth? Here's the person who knows more. Can you just tell us a little bit about?
What do you want to know?
Well, I mean, generally, how the policymakers change the way people think about renewable energy.
The German system, let's say, the renewable energy law is that everybody who installs a solar panel or windmill or whatever gets a fed-in tariff, which is higher than the power which you buy usually. Let's say for photovoltaic, 1 kilowatt hour, you get 50 euro cent, and the actual power price for 1 kilowatt hour is 16 cent. So people usually don't use the power that they use themselves, but they sell it to the energy company, like Solaria or World Energy, and they, which is not very sustainable, buy the cheap nuclear power for their own consumption. But this was the only way to really have now nearly 20% German energy production, which is quite similar to what we saw from France, is 118 gigawatt. and 20% of this are produced by renewable energy, mainly wind, which causes a lot of grid problem because you have a stochastic injection. Wind blows when it wants to blow, but not when consumers want to consume it. Solar energy, well, and then the others, biomass and so on.
But the point is that through government intervention, they managed to become market leaders in wind and PV, photovoltaics. And now not just they have one of the biggest installations in the world, they have the technology that they can help other countries with. So we're also trying
to... But energy now is much more expensive than before, because any consumer in Germany, of course, someone has to buy this 20%. So any consumer in Germany has on his bill 20% of renewable energy, all this mix, so that you pay for
the
normal kilowatt hour, this 16, 18 cent or whatever, plus this fee for the renewable energy. So in the moment, as Min already said, it's quite expensive, but all the consumers first have to pay this installation after, the price will go down when we have installed thousands of windmills or solar power panels, and they are paid once, like 7 years windmills, then it can be cheaper. But in the beginning, to get this renewable energy, you have to pay.
Okay. Spread the word, which is essentially, having this kind of discussions where we are trying to see how we can speak to more and more people, make them understand the complexity of the issue, and see how we can bring about change through communities, through networks, and so on. Develop human capital. Well, we work with lots of volunteers, and we try and see how we can inspire, and through their energy, bring about change. And essentially, innovation. Innovation in technology is one innovation. But like Carol was saying before, and the video also, that a lot of this technology is already there. It's innovation in ideas, how to bring those technologies onto the ground and implement them. And that's where we try and work most. Yeah, sorry.
You wanted back? Yes.
Okay. So there were three areas we wanted to talk to you about. One was green mass, which just went away. It's essentially about trying to work with organizations and communities in India to see how we can help them with understanding issues around sustainability, from energy to water to waste, and help them with improving on all of these areas through our knowledge and expertise. Second is a green gallery. Has anyone been to the visitor center here?
The exhibition?
There's an eco exhibition right next to it. That's one of our creations. And the idea is to get to people. By the way, this visitor center receives around 500,000 people every year. And these are all day visitors. And they are predominantly from India. And they are from middle class background. Most of them, a lot of them happen to be children, and so they've all heard about global warming, climate change, lack of energy. They face power cuts all the time, but they don't know what to do about it, so they kind of feel helpless. So the idea was to bring this information out here so that they have the option to walk in and explore and get more information, but also thank you. But also the idea was to create a place where, see, in India, when the information is given, it's given in a very dull way. And so most people get put off. And they think it's a doomsday scenario, it's pointless to do anything about it. So the idea was to create a place which is engaging, fun, and especially for children to come and play and sort of explore different things. And then perhaps a seed is planted in their mind, and hopefully they will change their behavior when they grow up, whatever. But the idea was to have a place where people, especially in a country like India, where the consumption will be one of the largest in the world because of the population, It's very, very important that the children get to know more about the issues in a way where they can accept and receive. The screen gallery. And the last thing is more on the ground. Maybe it's gone already. It's Mission Tejas. And I'll talk to you about all three, which is helping companies with becoming better in managing waste, water and energy, eco-exhibition, and Mission Tejas. So Mission Tejas is essentially, there are 86 million homes. When we were talking about having this in the video, this grid which connects all the whole world into one grid, it's going to be very interesting. I was just thinking that there's one colleague of mine who was in Belgium last week, and he was talking about his mother. He is 60, his mother is almost 85, 90, and she lives in a remote part of Belgium. And he was saying the facilities there are just outstanding. For example, they have this bus which runs regularly, completely empty. It has this facility where it can pick up people with, you know, disability. And it goes to these remote areas. Imagine the amount of energy that consumes. Right? And people are used to it. That's a given. You can't take that back from people who are used to it. And now, and people who are in emerging countries like India, they watch the same media. And they're aspiring for the same thing. Imagine if they start to consume at the same level. It's going to be very interesting. So if we have a common grid, I don't know what's going to happen, but the difference is very, very stark. So in India, there are 86 million homes, almost 40% of the population, which you don't see, by the way. They don't have access to grid. And they don't even have light. So they use kerosene, which is petrochemical product, and kerosene has many issues. First of all, it's a very bad source of light. The light you get from it is not even enough to read. It's highly polluting, as we all know, and if it's in an indoor situation, and mostly in indoors we have children and women, so they are faced with all the exhaust fumes from kerosene burning. And lastly, it's a health hazard and fire hazard. So we're trying to see how we can replace kerosene with light. And we are going with LED lights, which are highly efficient, and they convert most of the energy into light rather than into heat or. And this initiative is so big that no one company or organization can address it.
Ignore that.
So anyway, no one company can address it. So what we are trying to do is create a platform where we can engage with organizations who have a similar viewpoint and sort of collaborate with them. So on issues like design, distribution, creating awareness, in rural India, and then so we do create products. We have field testing to understand how different products perform in different settings, and then recommend NGOs to go with different products. We do information campaigns, and then this video. Can you just click on this video? This is just one of the initiatives that we did 15 kilometers from here. Even just in Pondicherry, there is a place called Periyamudi and Chavadi. There are 36 households there. It's not even 6-7 kilometers from here. And they have no power. By which I mean they have no electricity, nothing. Because they happen to be, does it work? No.
Yeah, wait, it's just a keyboard seems to be stuck, your mouse seems to be stuck. Technological challenge. Does the video? Okay, no video.
Sorry, this is again PowerPoint going crazy. I had a video in there, embedded in there, to just show you some of the things that we were doing, but it's not working. So anyway, this
play the
play. No, it won't work. The play button is to go to the next slide. No, it won't work. Anyway.
Okay, sorry. We change, huh? Go to the next slide.
No, just leave it just a moment. So this village, with 36 households, has no electricity. And so we did some field trials with them. And what's interesting is, they were used to kerosene to begin with. And in this field trial, we gave them different lights. Right? It's so interesting that we get used to more convenience. So people who had brighter lights wanted more bright. Even if they had the brightest light, they said it was not good enough. Even though they only had it for 2 weeks. So what I'm trying to say here is the need for energy is going to keep growing even in countries like India, exponentially. And we will have to look at the whole problem in a very different way if we want to address this. It's not going to be keep producing more, consuming more. I don't think that's the answer.
Next.
Yeah.
Okay. Next.
I think we should move on to the...
This is such a cool PowerPoint presentation.
See, they all rotate. I think we'll move to the next section. Okay. Green marks essentially is a name for eco-labeling. Everyone familiar with eco-labeling? Right. So the idea is that people became more aware of what they were eating once we had the standards for food labeling. We take it for granted, but a lot of work went into it to come to this point where we can see how much carb, fat, we have salt, and so on and so forth. So the idea is to develop something similar where it becomes obvious how much energy has gone into making a product or offering a service. So, you know, usually what people do is they just look at, so if you have an iPod or if you buy a new refrigerator, they all talk about how energy, you know, saving it is to have this new one. What about the old one? How much energy went into it to produce it in the first place? How much energy will go in discarding it, dismantling it? So the idea is to look at the whole resource consumption for any product or service from beginning to end. And so there are lots of eco labels out there, but our idea was to have something which is customized for India and then go to first two units within Auroville, make them more aware of, you know, the whole chain of consumption from beginning to end, and then offer solutions to reduce it.
So essentially, because our students are mapping the carbon footprint of the program, so essentially you buy a product and you see the eco footprint on the label of the product, and you know how much energy you're consuming.
And it's not just energy, it's, I think,
everything.
It's
so all resources.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And also, not just that what went into the product, but what will go into the product to discard it.
Wow.
After its life is over. This is some of the work we did. There was a company, a marketing company that we were working with, and this guy is a marketing consultant to Fortune 500 companies. And what he's based here, but it's an American company. And what he realized is that the next bandwagon to go to be on would be eco-labeling. Most companies will offer better eco-products because, you know, consumers are ready for it and are demanding it. So what he was trying to propagate in this book is that we can have a better quality of life while reducing the footprint. So we just did some calculations for him to demonstrate the fact that, you know, if you work from home, you know, how much petrol or gasoline can you save, and at the same time how the quality of life improves with video conferencing and so on. So as you can see, we are taking very different, this is a carbon footprint, carbon offset project. we have seen very different stands to address the same issue on sustainability, from offering lamps to people who don't have access to energy at all, to working with organizations who are currently consuming resources to help them reduce that. And then finally, the last one was eco-exhibition. We were trying to make people more aware, especially children, about the issues on sustainability, and hopefully that they will bring about some change. I think I will end my presentation here because this will keep going on.
Now you've got me hooked on this PowerPoint.
Any questions, or maybe we should take it after the last event?
Yeah. Or actually, just to contextualize, we had promised the audience a discussion on solar energy applications and innovations was nice, but if you could say a bit about anything you know about solar energy applications in Auroville or in India in terms of Auror's work.
How many of you know about photovoltaics and how they work and the current global scenario? Few people do. I think photovoltaics are still very expensive. Their applications are very wide. Now in India, just to put them in context, where they have been very effective is solar thermal, where the economic viability is works now as of today. By which I mean solar water heaters. Although it's a warm country, bathing with hot water is very common in India. And if you buy a solar water heater now, it pays off in terms of electricity savings within 3 to 4 years. So we've been pushing that as much as possible. And we are now working with the government to see how we can bring about, and the UN, policy changes to encourage more and more people to go with solar water heaters. A lot of innovation is happening in this space. We are trying to see how we can make the manufacturing, the installation, and the servicing as easy as possible so that it's more acceptable by the consumers. So that's the solar thermal side. And on photovoltaics, the biggest application at the moment is in solar pumps. The beauty of solar pumps is it saves in two ways. Solar pumps can't pump a lot of water quickly. If you have free electricity, which is what Tara was talking about, you can pump a lot of water and reduce the ground water level significantly for irrigation. So the idea is to use solar pumps for irrigation, where the water pumping is very slow, and then combine that with drip irrigation systems. So we're just starting to experiment with that in different parts of the country. We're starting with Gujarat, a place called Kutch, which is kind of semi-arid area, to see how we can use solar pumps to pump little amounts of water and still can maintain the yields of the fields. And then we have street lights. And now what's happening is a lot of commercial organizations who are becoming more and more aware of energy issues are coming to us to see how they can have part of their business done on renewable energy. So they are installing, to begin with, street lights, which is very fashionable. So when they have some visitors from abroad, they can show that we've got some street lights going here. And also with solar thermal, a lot of companies are now looking at installing solar water heaters to preheat the water for their boilers, which is a significant amount of saving in their heating bills. Those are the applications that are happening as of now. Unless the prices start to drop significantly, which will only happen if there is more and more consumption of photovoltaics in other parts of the world, India will not be able to do it in a big way. Financially, it's not viable. That's the current situation. But as the demand keeps growing in countries like Germany and Spain, now the US, with laws changing, and there are more attractive public policy for people to install PV systems, the prices will come down, and hopefully there will be more sort of acceptance in India. Any specific questions on
just
Also, you didn't say that the manufacture of photovoltaic panels are, for the moment, very polluting?
There's this big talk about pollution and also whether they do produce enough energy to offset the energy that goes into producing them. So the current thinking is it takes 3 years to offset the energy that the PV panel takes to make. It's very energy intensive and also very water intensive, and it's a very sophisticated process to make photovoltaic systems.
And the general lifetime?
Most companies offer 20 years guarantee. Some of them are offering now 25 years.
It's for the thin film solar panels. They only have an energy payback time of a couple of months.
They're getting better now, yes. It's for the crystalline frequency.
Let's end on that positive note and take a break. You can continue to question men over the break. And we'll reconvene in 15 minutes with our last presentation on biomass as an alternative energy source.